Ghost, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. Now, but he said, but wait. Later on, he said, as he was going up, and they couldn't catch him. He was above their reach. Yeah, he says, now, you guys wait for the Holy Ghost. But Jesus, trying to grab him. Don't go. What Holy Ghost? So he said he wanted to send them the Holy Ghost so that they would be endued with power from on high. Amen? All right, so, praise the Lord. Where was I going with that? That was a good message, wasn't it? Amen. So listen, so Jesus has, we're born again. We are absolutely born again with your spirit. Ah, here we go. So you're back again. He blew on you. The Spirit of God indwelt you, regenerated you, changed you. You've been transformed. Say, I've been transformed. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. So you're now out of darkness into light. Well, I don't feel like it. I feel like I needed a bath this morning. You know, amen. How many know you still get dirty in your body? How many know you still get dirty in your mind? Huh? Well, that sounded awful, didn't it? Having a dirty mind, that just sounds awful. Well, how about that? That's what you've got. You know why? Remember, we talked about it. It said you were brought up in this world. And this world is full of dirt. I mean, you ever seen a street sweeper? We got those street sweepers in Grapevine. They come by, you know. We got people who will throw their leaves all out in the curb, and the street sweeper will come get them. Well, they're lazy people. They got leaf vacuums. I was up in St. Louis, and they got leaf vacuums. And that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. They pile those leaves. I mean, just send them all out into the street in piles and piles, and the street sweeper comes and pick them up. Man alive. Man, I'd like to live in St. Louis. How about you? Especially in my neighborhood. Of course, your neighborhood, you may not have trees. It's another blessing of Texas in some places, isn't it? But see, we live in a dirty world. We live in a dirty world. It's full of dirt. It's full of garbage. It's full of trash. And in fact, you were raised on trash. Amen. I know you went to church, some of you. Well, that's good, and some of that's trash. But you were raised up in this world. You were raised up here in this world, and you've got a lot of junk. Now, see, we're off of now spirit, which is with God. Remember your circles? Spirit, which is of God. Soul, which is really of this world. Soul and body together, if you put a bracket on them, it's called the flesh. Amen? Soul and body together, that's called the flesh. And the flesh is the propensity of the body to hear the soul and to respond in a way that is of the world, of the flesh, or of the devil. See, those are the three things that are fighting and working against us, is the world, the flesh, our own, and the devil. All right? So we've got three. We've got the author of lies, which is the devil. And then we've got the world, which is, by and large, fulfilling the will of the devil, because he's the prince of the power of the air, prince of the power of this world. And then we've got the flesh, which has a propensity to agree with that. Amen? As like Lou was sharing this morning, is that you have a tendency to agree with the world. You have a tendency to agree with bad news. Amen? Huh? I'm saying propensity in your own mind, because you find yourself being depressed. You find yourself being low down. You find yourself not believing God, because that's just a word in a book. But this word in the book is what changes me, because my spirit is regenerated. What good is my spirit? It's in heaven. It's living with God. But what effect does it have here? See, that's what begins to be our problem, is we don't see the benefit or the connection with how the spirit begins to work against the soul to transform it. Again, you can write down again the scripture, Romans 12, chapter 2. Which talks about the fact that we are transformed, that we, let me read it. Sometimes it's better to read than to paraphrase, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Lord God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is verse 1, chapter 12 in Romans. I beseech you, I cry to you, I beg of you, hey, please, listen, brethren. Sistren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now again, our sister was sharing this morning, you present your body in one form or another. You present your mind and your thought life in one thing or another to God in saying, here's what I think, God. But here's what he's saying is present your body to the Lord, a living sacrifice, just as it is. You know God take you as you are? Huh? Present your holy body to the Lord. Your holy person to the Lord. No, he didn't say that. He said present your body as a living sacrifice. The one you got. Just come as you are. Come in your shorts. Come in your blue jeans. Come in your best dress. Whatever you are, however you're at, in your best religious clothes. Come that way, fine, if you're dressed that way. Come, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. That word service is to worship. Okay? This is your worship to God. Here, I'm going to bring you this junk in your mind. Yeah, I'm going to bring, well, I want to bring something God, something good. And all I've got is me. Well, see, that's all you're going to have. It's all you've got. Just bring you. You just come the way you are. Say, God, that's what God wants. He wants you to come as you are. If you've just sinned and you think, God probably won't like that. You know what? The best time to go to God is right then. Right with all the junk dripping off, with all the dirt and the dripping off of you. Amen? Listen to me. Go now. Run to the Lord. When you have sinned, run to the Lord immediately. Amen? Don't wait. Don't feel sorry about it. Don't feel bad about it. Go to the Lord. Say, Lord, oops. I intentionally did it again. Now, the oops is I let it get a hold of me and thought about it and let it bring forth death in me. And so I come to the Lord, run to Him, say, I present my body, a living sacrifice right now, everything in me. Now, see, you're going to have a hard time with that at the beginning. I guarantee, I know it. I know you are. You know, in my family, we've experienced that in recent days. It's a hard thing to believe God and to forsake the world in your flesh. Amen? It is, because you've got things that you have normally, regularly done, and the Lord is beginning to transform you and change you. What happens is when the Word of God comes on the inside and begins, the Spirit begins to transform the soul. There's your connection. Is this Word of God was written for you not just as a history, not just to show you, you know, what you'd done wrong and what God was going to do, but this Word of God will transform you. You meditate upon it and it transforms you. You see, you know, it's not just a matter of reading it, but thinking about it. See, you're changing how you think. You're changing what you think about because you're transformed from that the old kingdom to the new kingdom. You're changing your mind and your thinking. God is changing your mind and your thinking. You know, you really can't do that. You know, you read it and you go, okay, I'll do that. It don't work. It's not a matter of do that and think that. It's like growing up in the house. It's like growing up in the house. You just kind of catch it. What mom and dad are doing, what mom and dad are saying. They preach to you, they'll declare it, and guess where it is? It's right about there. And you've got it in somewhere in your little pea brain that you've got that Word of God. God has put it in you, but then it begins to be lived out. It begins to be lived out in the body. And God begins to use that word to actually, it's a seed, isn't it? You remember Mark chapter 4? It's a seed and it begins to grow. The Word of God, it's kind of like you can't stop it, you know? So stop trying to, a lot of us, we want to pull it out, you know, pull the weed. That's a weed. It's cramping my style. It's bugging me. Any of you, the Word of God bug you? It gets on the inside of you and it just starts to itch over here. Yet especially when you start thinking about sin again. Stop it. You know, it begins to come. It begins to crop up and come up. And it begins to actually transform you where doing what you used to do becomes uncomfortable. Like worry. Like fear. Not just smoking, drinking, chewing and those going with those that do. But it begins to transform you because it changes your thinking. And in some places, you don't want your thinking changed, especially when you're angry because you're righteously indignant at so-and-so. And God's and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are just growing up. Think of it like this. That one of those good Texas bushes that grows up and, you know, it just, you can't kill it. You can't kill it like a cherry laurel. We used to have a cherry laurel in our backyard, a bunch of them, you know. It's like the whole place was still wild. I don't know. It was, you know, houses built there. You know how many neighborhoods go wild after a while, don't they? You know, all the stuff starts coming back. The stuff that was wild in there, and you're trying to pull it out. And I've got this garden idea. Well, God had a different idea. You know, they've got that, what's called xeriscaping now, right? Which is kind of more natural gardens. I guess it's less work just because the stuff that naturally grows, man, it flourishes. And the stuff you're trying to plant from France, it just ain't going to go. Stuff you're trying to plant from New England, trying to get that New England color in your Texas yard, it just doesn't want to go. See, and that's what God does. He plants stuff that will not die. And it's irritating, and it just begins to transform you. Amen? Hallelujah. And what happens is then you have a choice. You have a choice of either letting God do His thing, or you can choose to rebel against it. And it becomes harder and harder and harder to rebel against the truth. But then you become, then that's where it's religion. Then you try to get God to settle down and hush up by doing something else, doing a good work. You ever notice that? God doesn't want your good works. He just wants to work in you. God doesn't want your good works. He just wants to work in you. Amen? He doesn't want you to push off what He's doing in you. Well, God, tell you what, if you'll leave me alone, I'll bake 5 pies. I'll go to church 6 times a week. You know, whatever. Just leave me alone. It can't. The Word of God is already planted. It's already planted. It's beginning to bear fruit. That's what happens. Is you've got the Word of God in you, and then somebody tells you to do good works, and you begin to trade one for the other, and therefore your religious mindset will just drag you down, and put you in bondage, amen. Because you think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. No, what you're supposed to be doing is worshiping the Lord and following Him. Your day is the Lord. A man plans his way. That is, you get up and go, and the Lord directs your steps. All right? So he says, be not conformed to this world. This is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we talked a little bit about that, soul is actually begins in all worldly flesh. It's conformed to this world, but God begins to transform it. It begins to be changed. It begins to be changed from one degree of glory to the next, so that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God begins to come forth. Starts out slow, begins to improve. Now, it's God's improvement plan, not yours. Amen? It's not you getting good. It's God working through you. It's just clearing out the pipe. See, you're just a pipe. Everybody, who knows a branch is a pipe? What are you talking about? See, a branch on a tree is just a pipe. Amen? It's a vine, like the vine in John 15. You're a pipe. You're just a pipe. But you're a pipe full of gunk and junk. And so, but that Word of God begins to clean out the pipe. It begins to flow. You know, you cultivate that. Water it, sun it, and that pipe begins to clear out. I mean, you begin to bear fruit in season. But your leaf is also green and it does not wither. There you go. See, your leaf will not wither. That's His promise. Amen? You meditate upon the Word of God. You trust in His Word. See, that's what we're doing to gain a kingdom heart, is to build up. Maybe that's part two, I guess. And you begin to do that. And you begin to be changed. You begin to be transformed and changed. Now, listen. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Let it. Let your heart. Let your heart keep. Guard. Observe. You remember those words for keep? Well, guard and observe. Let your heart guard and observe. Let give give honor, give respect, give reverence to my commands. Honor the Word of God. Honor it. Honor the Word. Honor His declaration of what you are. That is, believe it. Believe what He said over what you think and feel. Amen? Because now that's a reality. That's a real bump in the road. Because God says one thing, but your experience is something else. God says rejoice, and your experience is no way. I got problems. I got troubles. What's that song? Yeah, huh? In Oklahoma. Oh, that's it too. No, but I was thinking of the other one. The Christian song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Coming for to carry me home. Some kind of chariot coming after me. Swing low. Pick me up quick. It's kind of like the chariot's going over. And he's like, get me out of here. And the only guy that got on that thing was Enoch and Elijah. You know, they jumped high enough. You know, God, get me out of here. You know, but you don't get out of here without, the only reason they got out of here is they believed God. Now, watch, you remember Elijah, though. Oh, God, ain't nobody here but me and you. I got 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee. What you complaining? You just do what you're supposed to do. You just do what I told you. You know, is it easy? No, it's not easy. See, but you're being beat up so that you'd be used to being beat up in this world. See, Jesus was beat up in the world. What happened to Jesus when the Spirit came on him? Did he just ride on a cloud the rest of his life? What's the very first thing happened to Jesus when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Anybody know? He got sent into the wilderness. Oh man, I thought I was getting some holiness. You are. Send your flesh out to the woodshed. Send your flesh, you know, so that you'll know what it is to live in this world, to suffer, like somebody like you do. Amen. To understand suffering, you know, Jesus. I mean, it's not that in his God mind didn't know suffering, but I mean, he experienced it. That was necessary. He in every way he was tempted like you, yet without sin. Now God's not saying, okay, so you don't sin either. What he's saying is, let my Holy Spirit come and transform you and give you the same. Let this same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this same mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is the mind of heaven. The mind that you don't have to grasp anything. You don't have to get anything. You've already got everything. Well, that's a dumb thought because I know my checkbook and I know my neighbors and I know the people I live with and I know the people I work with. Amen. And you're there for one purpose. To be the branch, to be the conduit, to be the pipe that delivers the Word of God, that delivers the love of Jesus. You deliver the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Don't you deliver the kingdom of heaven? Huh? Isn't that true? You're a deliverer of the kingdom of heaven. You just hose everybody down wherever you go. Amen? You've heard that. I've been hosed. It usually means you got the bad end of the deal. No, when you hose somebody, they get the good end of the deal. Amen? Just whoosh. It's great. It's a blessing. My son, forget not my law. Don't let it depart from you. Forget not my law. This is Proverbs 3. But let your heart keep my commandment. Don't keep your heart from my commandment by your bad flesh attitude. Okay? Don't let your heart avoid the Word of God by your griping and complaining. Not because it's sin. Listen to me. It's not because it's sin, even though it is. But it's so that you will be made into that image of Christ so that you will let Him do what He does best. It's to transform you through your soul and therefore your body begins to follow after. Whatever your soul does, you ever notice? Whatever you're thinking, your body tends to just kind of go after it. You know, your mind thinks and your body just moves. Yeah, because you've got stuff in your head. And you say, hey, a bowl of ice cream? Yeah, let me get that. You know, or another drink? Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, make me quit, you know, feeling. Huh? Made me quit thinking. Another joint? You know, heroin, cocaine? Now, I know you people aren't into that. You know, you never can tell. Nice church people, you never can tell. Praise the Lord. You're sneaky. You're a sneaky bunch. Because you've been raised, every one of you haven't been raised in heaven. None of you have been raised in heaven. Every one of you have been raised on this planet. Amen? Unless you was raised by aliens and you just came back. Doesn't matter, they got sin too. Remember Larry Norman? Anybody know Larry Norman? Anybody old as me in Christianity? Larry Norman, singer. Oh, I love that look I got from Linda. What? I've never seen that before. You see a lot of things from up here. No, Larry Norman is a kind of a rocker that got saved. He's saying things like, he's an unidentified flying object. And I'll meet him in the air. And if there's life on other planets, and I'm sure that he must know, and he's been there once already and has died to save their souls. Good thought for anybody who's a UFO nut person is who? No. It'll be Jesus coming. They'll be going, what's that? Oh, my gosh. You think the asteroid's coming to destroy the Earth? That's Jesus. What's that? You know, look at the Hubble telescope. What's that? You know, all these movies. Yeah, here it comes. That's Jesus. They're trying to blast him out of the sky. All right? No, he's been there once already and has died to save their souls. Good song, because that says, okay, if you believe in UFOs, you better believe in Jesus. Because those guys need the same Jesus that you do. There's nothing in the creation. How many know God created the whole thing? This, don't you dare name this the UFO message. Don't you do it. Talking to Margaret and Susan. Make sure they don't do something to me. All right? See, because the creation is all made by God. Therefore, the creation needs a Savior. Amen? Well, what if they made it? I don't think they did. You ever seen those movies? They're coming over here to try to blast you out. I mean, those guys are full of sin too. Amen? I'm just having fun with it, but saying to you, even the thought of all those things is that if it's made by God, it needs a Savior. Amen? So, he says, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Okay. Let your heart guard or observe my word. Guard it. Don't let somebody steal it. Don't let your circumstances steal it. He says, actually, you could say, believe me, don't believe the world. Believe my word, don't believe the world. I just said something real big. Did you catch it? Believe me, don't believe the world. The world has a lot of things they're going to offer you and hold up for you to believe. It's like advertising. I'm not going to call any names. It's like advertising is that it makes you think you need something that you never would have thought of to need. Amen? I love coupons. Don't you love coupons? Coupons are there to get you to buy something that nobody buys. It's the reason they make a coupon for it. You know, and they keep making the coupon. Maybe if it's a new product, that's one thing to get you to try something new, but they keep making products for Twinkies. You know, coupons for this and that, you know. You know how much they sell Twinkies for these days? I mean, they'll give them away. My wife was over at the bread store, and they're giving Twinkies away. Why? Because they can't sell them. Because everybody knows what's in them. So they try to give them to the kids. Amen? That's what the devil does to you. It's giving you Twinkies. I've had my share, as you can see. Forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, we went through this last week basically, so I'm going to just kind of move through it and then move on. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. Length of days, long life, and peace, they'll add to you these things. The Word of God will add to you these things. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. So you shall, bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul. Don't lean on this world. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't rely on what you know. Question, somebody's heard this? Question everything. I would do that. I would question everything that the world says. Every program, every idea. Question everything. Don't rely on your experience in this world. Is it good to have experience in this world? Well, with what the world does, yeah, it's kind of good to know when somebody's going to bite you. Right? It's good to know how the stock market works, so you don't put a bunch of money in it and lose it. It's good to know how the world works. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. It's good to know how it works, but it says, lean not to your own understanding of how to engage the guy, of how to engage the enemy, or how to engage the devil, or how to engage the world. Don't lean on your own or rely on your own experience. Let the Word of God, forget not my law, let your heart keep my commandments. Again, the Word of God is transforming you. It comes into your mind through your ears and your eyes. And it comes in and it begins to transform you and you say amen. You meditated upon that on your bed. Job, that's how he got it. Amen? Well, he got in big trouble. Yeah, and you know how he lasted? The Word of God. He lasted because he trusted God. Well, he didn't have Romans. No, I know he didn't have Romans, but what he did have is a relationship with the living God. Job had a relationship with the living God, and God began to transform him and change him and grow him further. Well, I don't want his... God, don't do that. No, that's not what you say. God, you're like Jesus in the garden. You say, God, you know, your will, not mine. I'm telling you, you want God's will, not yours. You want God's will, not yours. You need to begin to learn to say that daily. Not my will. Not my will. Your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, that middle circle, that's you. So what we're saying is, not my will, but Spirit, the Spirit which is receiving that Word of God and causing that mind to be transformed. Your spirit is in relationship to God. That first circle is in relationship to God, and he begins to flow down through that soul and transform that soul. If you'll let him. Let. Everybody say let. Let me. Let it. Open the door. Let him in. The dog's scratching at the door. Let him out. Let him out. What happens if you don't let the dog out? Well, don't. Let him out. He's trying to get out. Let him out. Okay, so you want to let the Lord in. He's trying to get in. Let him in. Let him in. Let the Word of God in. Stand back. Open the door. And let him come in. Let not your heart be troubled. Stand back. Get out of the way and quit trying to interfere. That's let. Let, if something's happening, let it. God's moving, let him. Get out of the way. quit intervening with your own idea, with how you're used to thinking, how you normally do things in this church. We don't do that in our church. Well, you should. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, okay, God, what you got? Say, I'm going to have cheese or no cheese. God, what do you think? Hey, you had too much cheese. Okay. Sweet tea or unsweet tea? What do you think? Unsweet. Oh. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. Just practice that for a month. Just practice that, you know. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Which toothpaste should I use? Yeah? What? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Just treat it like one of those financial seminars where you write down everything you do. You write down every penny you spend for a month. And then you're shocked at how much waste that there is. I need to do that one day. Amen. Let's see. I wonder how much I spend on junk. I wonder how much waste that there is. And then figure out the waste and give it to the church. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, God may be having you pay off a debt or pay off something. You know, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That is, in all your ways, give Him the preeminence. Let Him have first pick. Okay, God, here's 5 pieces of chicken. Let Him have first pick. Here's 5 things I could do, God. Let Him have first pick. No! How many don't want to give God first pick at what you're going to do? Huh? In your flesh. Me. I don't want to let Him pick first in my flesh. But I know from the heart, let God pick first. Let God pick first. Let Him. Let God pick first. All right? Be not wise in your own eyes, for the fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't let your experience trump God's experience. You know, you're letting your experience, I don't think that we ought to do that today. You know, do it. Let God have His way. Let Him have His experience, His word, His experience. Let Him have that. Let Him do it. Be not wise in your own eyes, because you are. You know, gee, I'm pretty smart. You know, I know how to handle this. You know, and you trip up. You trip up because you're just silly. You're just dumb. You're ignorant of the ways of the enemy. Well, this has always worked before. You're lying, number one. It has not. Half the time it works, and half the time it doesn't. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now, what if it looks like His direction was a mess up? Just let Him have it. Let Him have His way. He'll fix it. He probably didn't mess up. He probably just led you right through the briar patch for your good, for your blessing. You know, I've been through some things. We've still had some few things coming by. It's like, Lord, this is not fun. You know, and that's, it was like Job. You know, God, you know, this is not fun. I really do not like this. This itching thing. I do not like it. This is not good at all. You know, boy, this is great, God. Oh, shut up. It's not great. But what it's teaching you is hey, it doesn't matter. I can live through anything. I can live through anything because God is with me. You can live through anything because God is with you. He's with you. You can live with anybody. You can live with anybody because God is with you. Amen? You can live with your children. Where did these children come from? These are not my children. I know these cannot be my children. They were raised properly. And look at them. They're just acting stupid. I said, well, praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. And presses, and your presses shall burst forth with new wine. So shall your barns be filled. And your presses are burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. See, that's why I didn't read this last week. I wanted you to come back this week. Because you didn't know I was going to be here. So I'd get to preach on you. My son, despise not my sister. My daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. See, His correction, remember over in Hebrews chapter 12, we prayed and talked about it, is that it's for your profit. A great word. It's for your profit. You're going to be gaining profit by His correction. Amen. By His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Where is it? Well, it's Jesus Christ who's made unto us wisdom, and He is the Word, and He's become flesh. And what that Word of God does is begins to come and live on the inside of you. You begin to become Jesus. You begin to, not in the person of Jesus, but you begin to become like Him, made in His image, because His Word begins to dwell in you. You begin to become, you know, He's called the branch, you know, and we are He is now the vine. So they took Him and planted that branch, and He became a vine on His own, and he's now flowing through these branches. And these branches are bearing more and more fruit as their branch gets cleaned out and grows and becomes more mature. That branch becomes mature and begins to bear fruit. This is you. Listen. This is you. You are bearing fruit unto the kingdom of God. This is why you're here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're right here in this little training center right here. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like a little machine shop. You're getting honed out. You're bored out, like they do the engines. You know, when the engines, when they rebuild them. Anybody done any of that stuff? You know, you build the engine. You gotta re-bore out those cylinders, and you know, so they'll run. So they'll run clean. They'll run fast. Hey, man, that's you. Run fast. God wants you running fast, but He's going to do the machining, doesn't He? He does the machine work. He does the machine work. I want you to praise Him. I want you to worship Him. I don't feel like worshiping. I want you to worship. He says, worship me. He says, thank me. He says, praise me. He says, even in the middle of trouble, believe me. Don't believe the world. Trust me. Don't trust the world. The world is destroying you. It's killing you. Amen. Every good thought that you had from the world is not a good thought. Those thoughts say, trust me, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. The world wants you to trust the world. Amen? And you say no. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging Him. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. We said the last week, we talked about the... over there in Psalm 1, said, blessed are you if you walk not in the wisdom of the ungodly. That is the counsel of the ungodly. You know, a lot of us, we go out and we get counsel from the ungodly. Amen? Get good ideas from the ungodly. He says, let your knowledge and your wisdom come through the Word of God. Don't stand in line with the sinner. We talked about this. Say, don't stand in the way of the sinners. Don't stand in line with the sinners. Well, we're going to get some of that too. You know, don't stand in line with those guys. Don't sit in the armchair of the scorner. That's stupid. Don't sit with those people. Because like, hey, you're sitting there doing nothing and just complaining and hollering at everybody else. Don't sit there. said, blessed is the man who does not do those things. But rather, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both day and night. Rather, his delight or his confidence is in God's wisdom. Established truth, his finished work. So blessed is the man whose delight is the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both day and night. Your confidence. Say, okay. Your confidence has changed from this world. And again, this takes time. Your confidence has changed from this world to that of the wisdom and the counsel of the Lord. Now, it takes time to do, but that's what God is, where God is moving. That's what he's doing. That's what he's talking about. He's speaking to you on these lines. All right? I want you to turn over to, as back up to Proverbs 4, or turn over to Proverbs 4, next chapter for a minute. We could finish that one. We're not going to. Hear you, children. Listen, children. Children. Class. Let me all remember that. Hear you, children, the instruction of a father, and attend. Attention. Attend. Huh? What? You preach? You saying something? Attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep, guard my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Ah, this is a good one. Don't decline. Don't shrink back from the words of his mouth. Don't let the words of his mouth become distant from you. Don't let the words of his mouth become distant from you. Forsake her not. And she shall preserve you, love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Now, he's talking specifically, these proverbs have to do with relation to the world. Your relation to the world. You have a God. Most of the proverbs have to do with just with wisdom. But it's God's wisdom. Knowing how to deal with the world. Don't go near that strange woman, or maybe or a strange man in that case. Don't go near him. I like what it says about that, about the strange woman. It said, if a young man goes into a strange woman, he's gonna come out and you may go in with a pocket full, but you're gonna come out and you just about be begging a piece of bread. He's reduced to a piece of bread. I mean, dude. Don't let her deceive you. You know, you're going to be paying all kinds of money to get yourself out of that mess. Amen? It's funny. It'd be down to a piece of bread. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you do embrace her. Talking about wisdom. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. All right, look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37 says, fret not or be anxious not because of evildoers. Again, that sounds like Psalm 1, right? You know. Is it neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. So don't think those guys are making it. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Now here, watch this. But here he tells you how to live. So rather than fretting because of evildoers, he says, trust in the Lord. and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily you shall, truly you shall be fed. So trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Make Him your delight. Make Him your joy. Make Him your confidence. So trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let's see, how many things could I get into? It's just delight myself in the Lord. How many things could I think of to do? How many things could I think of to entertain myself? There's a lot of entertainment out there, isn't there? Huh? Anybody? Got your PlayStation? Got your DVR? Got your MP3? And I'm just talking in the last 5 years. You know, television was enough without being able to record it and watch it later. Television was enough, wasn't it? All by itself. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. Well, that's three of them, three fret nots. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. This verse 10 is really good. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. Look at that. And it shall not be. It's like, it's just like a little greasy spot where he used to be. The wicked, he's gone. He's just... That was the guy who, you know, you were envious of a while back. I don't think you're envious of him anymore. So another thing is that as you begin to live in heaven from your soul, you begin to live in heaven from your soul, the things of this world begin to diminish in their shininess. Amen? They begin to diminish in their shininess. There's nothing this world has for me. Amen? Doesn't mean I don't need a car to get around in Dallas. It's faster than walking. But what it does mean is I don't need a bunch of stuff. I don't need meaningless stuff, stuff that just, you know, is, I need what I need and I don't need what I don't need. Does it matter having a, you know, suit that doesn't have a hole in it? Sure, it's fine to have a suit that doesn't have a hole in it. This world is not your home. And you'll have, but God said you'll have everything that you need. You'll have everything that you need. You remember the people coming out of Egypt? They had everything they needed. God provided them great wealth to perform the will of God, to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. For 40 years, even though they were disobedient, for 40 years their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. Hallelujah. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, they just come. They just manifest and show up, and you have what you need. Amen? You have what you need. If you look down at verse 34 here in chapter 37, it says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Guard his way. Observe his way. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and you shall see it. And you'll see it. Finally, verse 40 in this chapter, he says, and the Lord, verse 39 here, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He is their strength. He is your strength in the time of trouble. Did you know you had strength when you didn't think you had it? Huh? I said, you have strength when you don't think you have it. Oh, God. No, you have strength when you don't know you have it. He told the disciples, he said, don't be anxious about what you're going to say when you're brought before kings. Don't make your little speech. You don't have to have a little speech. God will just bring you up. And you'll speak that which I give you to speak in that day. The Spirit will give you what to speak. Is anybody hearing this? Is anybody hearing this? Understanding it? This is not a message about read your Bible, but it is. Pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. If you're back in Sunday school, that's where we would sing that little song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Good, good. It's very simple, but it's very good. And you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's what it sings. And then we added another verse back years ago. Don't read your Bible and don't pray every day, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink some more and shrink some more and shrink some more. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray every day, and you'll shrink. You just shrink, shrivel. Just shrivel up. Just shrivel up. You just be under the world. Amen? You just be in the world. See, the Word of God, again, here's what the Word of God does. It transforms you. It changes you. It brings you further and further into the realm of the King of Kings. You begin to live like Jesus lived. You begin to hear God like Jesus heard God. You want to hear God? Get in the Word of God. Oh, I need to hear God. Well, you need to hear God. You need to get into His Word. And His Spirit now will begin to speak to you. Here's what happens. Is that He's basically coating the pipe with His Word. He's just the inside of it is getting, here's how God speaks. Here's how He speaks. So you prepared to hear Him. Oh. 2 Chronicles 11. Is it 11? Oh, let's see. I'm not. It's not this. Okay. 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 See, I'm not used to reading it. How many of your Bible, the Bible you read something in is where you remember where on the page it was? And you can't find it in a different Bible? Oh, here it is. 12. Chapter 12, verse 2 Chronicles 2, or 12, verse 14. Okay. Let's read 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem, and he reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Verse 14. And he did evil. Why did he do that? Because. Because why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Wow. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. My. Where does evil come from? Because you didn't prepare your heart to seek the Lord. You prepared your heart to do something else. You didn't prepare your heart. See, you're coat And you know what the Word of God is. You the Word of God trains you to hear His Word. The voice of the Master. Little puppy, little doggy, he begins to hear the voice of his master. He's trained to know the voice of the Master. In giving yourself to the Word of God, you are preparing yourself to hear the Lord. Amen? You know how He speaks. You remember, okay, we're about done. And when they were on the floor, they sat on pillows at the Last Supper. You know, not like we do up here, but you know, they kind of leaned, inclined, whatever. They leaned over on a pillow and they ate off a short table. Okay? About maybe not even as tall as that chair. He ate off a short table. John leaned against the breast of Jesus. They kind of leaned up against each other. You kind of sit out long ways like that, you know. And he heard every word that Jesus said. If you're on the other end of the table, you can't hear that well. But if you're right here, you can hear the breath. Just even the breathing of that person who is next to you. You can't hear the breathing of the guy down at the end of the table, can you? Huh? You can't hear that. See, you want to be right next to him. You want to know what it is for him to breathe. You want to know what it is for him to speak, for him to just say the slightest thing. You want to be ready to hear him. Amen? Invite him to come to church. Say they missed church. You need to come next week. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. I want you to take that one. It's 2 Chronicles 12:14. I want you to meditate upon that scripture. Everybody write it down? I'll remember it. No, you won't. I didn't. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. It's so powerful, isn't it? And that applies to me. If I forsake to prepare my heart, I'll just fall into sin. I'll just fall into unbelief. Listen to me. Unbelief is what you fall into 9 times out of 10. And that's why you go into other sin. You fall into gross sin, other sin, all kinds of nonsense because you did not believe the Lord. You didn't stay close. You didn't stay close. So you begin to fall off and do other things. You begin to forsake the assembly of yourself together with those hypocrites. You begin to forsake the assembling of yourself together with those, you know, with those that believe. You begin to forsake. See, if you're not meditating upon the Lord, like we say in Psalm 1, you begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're not doing the one, you do the other. If your delight is not in the law of the Lord, you begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly rather than the counsel of God. You begin to sit in the seat of the scornful. You begin to stand in the way that sinners stand in. It doesn't mean stand in the way of sinners. You ain't getting by here. That's not what it means. When he's saying that, he said you're standing in the way with sinners. Yeah, what's up there? Yeah, we're gonna get some of that? Yeah, okay. You know, I say it like he's standing in line for something, you know? Okay. No, you're in the center line. You're in the line going for the stuff that the sinners are going for. You know, go for this line over here. God's line, it's a lot shorter. God's line is a lot shorter. You know when? And instant service. You get instant service in God's line. You know? Hey, God, what you got for me? What? Crucify. Oh, no wonder there's nobody in this line. You ever gotten in that line? Yeah, that's the line that nobody wants in because of the lady in that line is mean. You know, she doesn't. I'll stand in this line where the nice person is. I'll wait longer, but I don't want to go over there with her. It's kind of like, who doesn't want to sit with that lady at work? Who don't want to work with her? You'll wait all day to go to so-and-so because you don't want to go, you don't even want to talk to this person. Right? Amen. Oh, God is good, isn't he? I hope you're blessed. I hope you get and receive, you know, from the Lord this morning. You know, we got an imperfect vessel up here. But let's prepare our heart to seek the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let His Word line your, coat your pipe. And then what you begin to do is you begin to hear Him because you know what to listen for. See, when you read the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, when you meditate upon it, then you begin to hear how He speaks. So I was saying when John leaned on Jesus' breast at the table, see, John knew what to listen for. He had experience in hearing Jesus. And you want to have experience hearing the Lord. And if you'll, and the Word of God will do that. Now, I don't care what book you start with. I don't care what you do. Just let the Word of God become your. And not as a work. Not as a work to say, well, I've got to read it, you know, to make God happy. No. What you're doing is just learning how it sounds. Learning how He sounds. And I know some of you have been reading your Bible your whole life. Then I'll just tell you this, is have that expectation. Have that, change your expectation from reading it as work and hearing it as work to, Lord, I just want to hear You. I want to let You talk to me. Don't read it for information. Read it so you hear the voice of God. I want to learn how You speak. I want to learn to hear You. And then what happens is He begins to speak to you and you know Him. He begins to speak to your heart and you know Him. Oh, ooh, ooh. I mean, that wasn't a Bible verse, but I recognize the voice. Sometimes you might not recognize it's easy to recognize the Bible verse, but what happens when you recognize the voice that spoke the Bible verse, but it's speaking something that agrees with the thing, but it's applicable to the moment. Okay? He begins to speak and it's applicable and you hear Him and you know that voice. All right? Hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't He? We love You, Lord God. We love You with all of our heart. Father, we bless You and thank You right now that You just have built us up and You strengthened us. You've caused us to learn how to hear Your voice. Learning how to hear Your voice, oh Father, we magnify You. And thank You for your goodness and Your faithfulness to us, that Your desire is for us to know how to hear You. And Father, we want to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord so that evil departs from us. So that we do not evil because we have prepared our hearts to seek the Lord. And we give You all the praise and the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If anybody needs prayer this morning, I'm going to have to leave pretty quickly.